Yeah, I traveled around the world. I toured that show. It was called Postborn Modernist. I toured it for about 5 years around the world. Well, 14 countries and a lot of different cities and states, and showed my cervix. I figured to about 40,000 people, and it was an amazing thing to do. And interestingly, I stopped doing it about, 10, 12 years ago, and then I just decided to do it. It was International Clitoris Day, and a woman was raising money for a very good cause, and I said, Beth, let's do it. So we pulled out the old speculum and dusted it off and
put it in,
and Beth and I did the public service announcement.
Podcast that never has to say it's sorry. The Feast of Fools.
We'll say sorry if you write us a letter and tell us how bad we are, but otherwise.
On today's show, we'll be talking to former porn star and now performance artist Annie Sprinkle and her wife, gorgeous Elizabeth Stevens, visual artist and new media instructor at the University of California.
We'll be talking about their love art lab and their 7 years of love.
And why Annie Sprinkle, how did she cope with breast cancer? And why Elizabeth Stevens decided it was a good idea to cast porn stars and academicists' underwear into bronze and hang it up on the wall for the world to see.
Listen to this must interview.
Also, their show Exposed is going to be this weekend at the Counterpulse Gallery at 1310 Mission Street and 9th in San Francisco. So definitely check their fantastic show out. I'm Fausto Furnace.
And I'm Mark Fillion.
Stay tuned.
Hello.
Hi, Annie. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Hi, you guys.
This is Fausto.
And Mark.
From
Hi,
the Feast
guys.
Of Fools.
Hi, Mark and Fausto.
Ooh, we have a special double
date tonight. I feel
like
we could do a chorus here.
Yeah, that's us.
How are you two doing?
We're poly podcasters.
Ooh. Well, we're not swingers, though.
No, we're not either. We're monogamous, actually.
Only for 7 years, though, right?
Monogamous.
For the next 7 years, though.
Uh-huh. Adventurous monogamous.
Now, so is monogamy the hot new fetish?
Oh, it's all about love now. That's the wave of the future. It's
so love is the fetish.
What?
Love is the fetish itself.
Yeah, love is the new fetish. Love is the new kinky.
Was it ever not? I mean, was there?
Well, you know, kinky was hot there in the 80s, and then it's always been hot. You know, porn's kind of had its little heyday, and now it's all over, and now love is the big trend.
Well, so, like, smearing dog feces on your lover wasn't exactly, like, that's gone out of fashion.
You know, baby steps towards love. It was all about love then, too, but...
It was just a different kind of love.
Yeah, it was just...
That was sort of shitty love.
Now, how did you two meet each other?
What?
How did you two meet each other?
Well, in 1990, I curated some of Annie's tip prints into a show called Outrageous Desire at Rutgers University. So I had to go get her tip prints, and that's how we met.
And then was love at first sight?
No. Well,
it was lust at first sight. I can tell you that on my part.
But we didn't become lovers until 4 years ago.
Was there a bit of a, I mean, was there a lot of mystery in the discovery process? Because I want to ask you,
Elizabeth,
you got to see the inside of Annie's vagina before in a show, or did you actually, like, see it in the bedroom for the first time?
Yeah, I saw it in the bedroom for the first time. I mean, I had seen pictures of it.
So you knew what you were getting into.
Oh, I totally knew what I was getting into, and I couldn't wait to jump right into it.
Ooh.
So her cervix a whole bunch, because we tried to impregnate Beth for a year. So we had to put the speculum in and insert sperm into her uterus, and it was really fun.
Did it work?
It did work, but then I miscarried.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. I was like, could you imagine little Sprinkle Stevens running around?
I know. Well, you know, it's sort of like, well, because you're a visual artist, you always know that when you're throwing those, throwing a vase for the first time, they don't always come out.
That's right.
So you got to keep on trying if you want to
get a nice
vessel.
Sperm gets awfully expensive if you have to buy it.
You guys were shopping?
For you guys, but...
We have an unlimited supply here, but it's like,
I'm sure you know what I'm
sure. I want to donate some. What game?
I'll put some in an envelope.
That's perfect.
I'm sure we have some listeners out in California who would be more than happy to come over with a turkey baster.
We need more than a turkey baster, honey.
How many ovaries do you have?
I don't know. There's not lots of ovaries. That's not the problem.
Now, you two are working on a fabulous new show together called Exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be this weekend at the Counterpulse. Is that a gallery or a theater space? Or?
It's a theater space. We are really excited.
Hotbed of performance art. It used to be called 848.
Oh, I know. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So they renamed themselves. I'm sorry?
It was Keith Hennessy was one of the founders of that space.
Oh, tell Keith, give him a blowjob for me, will you?
Oh, we will.
He was our sperm donor, finally.
Oh, you guys got the prize pig at the fair.
He was pregnant by Keith. Can you imagine?
Ooh, honey. You better try again.
Beautiful artist, and we love Keith Hennessy.
Everyone loves.
On to other projects.
Yeah, we got a dog instead. Yeah.
Well, that's good. I saw the dog on your website. You have a fabulous website called loveartlab.org or .com too, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it's .com, but we prefer org because it's like orgasm. Mm.
I like that too.
Yeah.
And so you guys have been decided to document the next 7 years of your relationship,
mm-hmm,
with a wedding every year.
Yeah.
And how did your family react to this announcement? Did they feel like, oh, we're going to have to send, you know, presents every year and rent a tuxedo every year?
No, we asked people not to give us presents, but to collaborate on the creation of the wedding. Our weddings are performance art events.
So people do pieces, they do performance art pieces, or they read written word pieces, or they contribute by, you know, helping decorate the space or making the cake or making food that's in the color of the year that we're doing.
Because every year it's a different color for the seven chakras.
Right, which is based on the work of Linda Montano, who's a wonderful artist who did seven-year pieces, and she invited other artists to do some version of her seven-year piece, and we had already started committing ourselves to doing art about love. That's what we're committed to now for 7 years, is to do... All our art projects are about love.
And that's to counteract a lot of the war and the hatred, mm-hmm, and inhumanity in the world.
And every year you have a new color and
that's
a new
right.
theme.
Right.
So
now,
you guys...
Are you guys students of Linda Montano? Or?
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
For many years. The reason I have blue hair is... What?
You were doing Linda Montano.
I was doing Linda Montano.
Oh, that's better than Keith Hennessy.
You were not sleeping with Linda Montano.
I wasn't sleeping with Linda, but I did get to roll around naked with her one time with Debbie Moore.
Oh,
oh
my God.
Was
Linda naked?
Yeah. Linda wasn't naked. I was, though. It was Linda,
On
Debbie
campus?
Moore. It was at the candy factory. But this interview is not about me. Us. It's about you.
It's about you guys. Right. And Elizabeth, I'll tell you one little thing though. If you look in Annie's book, the post porn modernist,
I'm so embarrassed now. Uh-huh.
And if you look on page 164, you'll see a young Fausto Fernos looking up Annie's snatch.
Hot.
Oh, really?
He's about 19 years. How old are you there, Fausto? You're 19.
I was 21 years old.
21.
He looks for all legal purposes
like a baby.
I was
so hot. I'll have to go look.
And there's a comic book version of this too, isn't there?
That's right. And the illustrator used that photo and illustrated still, me into the photo.
And it still looks like Fausto.
It's more about me looking at you and just shock.
Because I think, Annie, that was the only vagina Fausto has ever really seen.
No, actually, after that, my roommate showed the inside of her vagina, too.
Oh, really?
And those are the two vaginas I've ever seen.
You started a wave.
She said, it's not that big of a deal. I can show you the inside of my vagina, too.
Well, we'd love to see that.
Yeah. Do you guys get a lot of fans coming up to you both and after the shows and say, hey, we want to show you the inside of our vaginas as well, or...
Well, people come up after the show and just tell us how touched they were by the show, because the show's really trying to deal with some of the problems that are in the world right now. And I mean, we actually really address a lot of things in the show, from cancer to war to you know, gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And people really like it.
So it's extremely timely. So can you give us like a feel of what people are going to expect this weekend at the Counterpulse?
Well, we do experiments in love, sex, death, and art. And so it all takes place in our Love Art Laboratory. We have four very wonderful lab assistants. And Beth's flashing me her boobies right now.
Is that part of the experiment?
Very cute. You get to see Beth just shine on stage. And we've got live soundscape. It's very arty but very fun.
Yeah, because that's what I really appreciate about this old concept, is that you guys are kind of marrying old school feminism and new school feminism together.
We are. We're really interested in feminism. We really love it in all of its glory.
And we love art, so we do a lot of art experiments. And we love sex, so we
do some sex experiments.
Yeah.
There's one part where we actually go under the covers and have at it with each other.
So you guys literally have at it with each other on stage and the audience is watching?
We do, and above us is projected a little film that we made while we were doing it under the covers another time. And it's a beautiful little film, so they kind of watch us and watch the film.
Except they can't really. It's kind of post porn. It's not like regular porn at all.
It's not like regular porn.
Right.
We're so bored with regular porn.
It's not Brazilian waxes and.
We're so over that.
Well, what do you
like Brazil? Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah, we like Brazil.
And what is sort of the audience's reaction to seeing you guys having sex underneath the covers? Do they feel cheated or?
Usually, it depends what you know. If they're gay or straight or. I mean, if they're gay men, sometimes... Actually, they're kind of titillated,
too. I bet Fausto would like it.
Yeah. I'd like anything Annie, and especially you, Elizabeth, would do together, so...
Uh-huh. Well, you know, Beth and I are so in love, and I've never been so in love in my life. I never thought this would happen to me. It's like a, you know, old porn star gets old and chubby and thinks it's over, then all of a sudden she falls in love and lives happily ever after.
It's
like this amazing, miraculous relationship that's so outstanding. And so we're so in love that we share that on stage. We just transmit our love to the audience. And they walk in with crutches and then they throw them away.
That's true. And, you know, getting back to our families, our families are so happy that we found each other.
Yeah.
Because we're just really a good match. And I think our families got so tired of all the weirdos and, you know, sort of...
The weirdos in your life, Elizabeth, or in Annie's?
They're thrilled.
Wait. The weirdos in your life or Annie's?
Both.
Uh-oh.
I had a few weirdos. I just didn't document them.
You didn't have a slideshow of the.
No, I don't have a slideshow. I have all these nasty letters, though.
Well, and restraining orders, things like that. Let's talk about some of your themes, because every year, so it's 7 years, seven colors, seven themes.
Mm-hmm.
And your first year was survival and security.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about
breast cancer? And that's how we really learned about.
Now, did you deliberately go and get breast cancer? Now, you deliberately went and got breast
cancer.
Absolutely.
So that we could deeply, deeply, deeply investigate that chakra.
Yeah, and then we could make art out of it and share it with
No, but seriously, Annie, like, you know, you are like a size triple D or something. I don't know what breast sizes are, but you are well known for your ample bosoms.
Yeah, I have lots of boobs.
And so when you discovered that you had breast cancer, I mean, this was a frightening prospect of losing your breasts,
scary,
right?
But I was really happy. If I had to have cancer, I was really happy it was breast cancer because it fit in with my body of work, you know?
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So
we made the best of it. We actually did chemo and radiation, but we really slid right through it.
We were actually really out there. We would go to chemotherapy and dress up in different costumes during every different treatment. And, you know, going to chemotherapy is like going to the beauty parlor. There's all these ladies hooked up to machines. they really loved it, you know. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, because it's a pretty morose place.
Right.
And so we would go in and be doing these crazy things. And even though Annie felt like hell, she would get really into dressing up and we would take these pictures. And you can see it on our website, the Chemo Fashion Show section.
I absolutely love it. It looks like you guys are on a cruise ship somewhere.
LoveArtLab.org, you can see our Chemo Fashion Show. Right. Or we do actually a performance version of it in our theater piece, Exposed.
I love the pictures, the collages, the juxtaposition of you as a pinup model and the pictures of your cancer x-rays.
Yeah, radiation treatment plan. We made collages out of those.
So those are wonderful.
You know, we just made art out of our cancer adventure, and so we came out of it, you know, all the better.
Was there any hesitation when you guys decided to declare this, you know, this experiment, this public statement fighting war and I guess the anti-love is the opposite of love is war, I guess, right? Was there any hesitation on both of you that said, you know, this might affect our relationship in a negative way, we might lose a certain sense of privacy by putting ourselves out there so much?
Yeah, I think it is a big risk to commit to being collaborators, artistic collaborators. I mean, it's always a big
risk. But, you know, we really haven't hesitated. I mean, we have really jumped into this project, and it just seems like it's been the right thing, and all of these doors have opened, and people have really appreciated what we're doing, and it just seems to be something that has a life of its own almost.
And on our website are all the different projects we've done. We were a year and a half into the 7-year piece, and we've done so many wonderful, fun projects. Like, we do free sidewalk sex clinics where we give sex advice on the street,
and we cuddle people for 7 minutes each at various venues and events.
Now, hold on a second. So someone asked you for sex advice. What were some of the questions they asked you? Like, for advice, like, you know, I feel like I can't come.
Yeah, well, actually, one of the last guys I talked to, he said he has to have sex all the time.
And there's something wrong with that, or?
What?
And there's something wrong with that.
Well, his girlfriend doesn't like it, so it's a problem.
Did you tell him to just get better at it and maybe she'd like it?
Hmm?
Did you tell her to tell him to get better at it and maybe she'd like it?
Yeah.
We've had a lot of virgins ask us how to lose their virginity, and people ask about sex toys. And there was one darling Mormon gay boy who wanted to know how to keep his love life with his lover exciting.
We had tourists from India.
We've had frat parties stop by.
Yeah.
And what did you say to him when you asked him, how do you keep your sex life? How do you keep your sex life exciting in a marriage?
Do you know Joseph Kramer? Do you know who Joseph Kramer is? He started the Body Electric.
Yes, we do. I do.
We just tried to turn him on to some of Joseph's work. Joe's actually, our honorary husband.
But isn't that like a workshop with a lot of other men? So it's sort of like.
Oh no! Well, I mean, it can be, but you can also do it in the comfort of your own home.
He has erotic massage film. Erotic massage.com.
So are lesbian couples coming up to you asking for advice as well, or?
They are.
People ask us for sex advice and love advice all the time, and we just offer it up. I actually got a PhD in human sexuality. So
I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, I was the first.
So you really are a Dr. Annie Sprinkle now.
Yeah, I was the first porn star to get a PhD, and of course that taught me everything I know.
I doubt that. But
she did. She taught me all the good stuff. She's a fantastic lover. I'm just the happiest.
Oh, honey.
Happiest wife in the world.
Well, do any of your ex-girlfriends like come up to you and say, "You guys make me sick. You're so happy."
No, actually, my ex-girlfriend is. She likes Annie so much better than she ever liked me that she's always trying to kind of snuggle up to Annie.
Is there any jealousy?
Oh, just I get the jealous. Right amount.
I get jealous from time to time.
It's very cute. She gets a little jealous, and it's kind of spicy.
It's definitely a sinking ship, though, getting jealous of Annie Sprinkle.
Well, I don't know, Beth. You sound like you hold your own pretty well.
She does.
I mean, you came out. Anybody who can conceive of casting the underwear of porn stars and art teachers into bronze, right? And then you hung them up on in a gallery?
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic. I just think that was great. Now, when you approach people and say, "Hey, Ron Jeremy, I want to take your underwear and cast it in bronze."
Ron sent me the dirtiest, smelliest, holiest pair of underwear in the whole world. It was great.
Wow.
He loved it.
And what about, were there any other?
Here, he spent the night at our house, so he just took them off. He didn't even mail them.
No, he didn't. He mailed us.
Oh, did he mail them
later? Oh, he mailed very special underwear.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
This is the kind that he sends to his biggest fans.
I don't know. You know, I think it was a very well-worn pair, so he must have really liked them.
Were there any cum stains in the underwear?
You know, if there were, they're embedded in the bronze now.
Wow.
And those are for sale, those sculptures.
Yes, they are.
In fact, you can buy my panties bronze. My bronze panties are the biggest sellers.
And you can find the links to that at our loveartlab.org or anniesprinkle.com. Yeah. And if you forget about this, all these links will be up on our website, feastoffools.net. The book that Annie is promoting here today is Dr. Annie Sprinkle's Guide to Spectacular Sex, and also Post-Porn Modernist, with a picture of me on page,
164, I think.
164. Yep. You can buy these books. They are fabulous additions to any library in any school.
Oh, yes. Must-have.
Mm-hmm. It's a must-have. If you're going to really... I mean, Annie, you're sort of like one of the major performance artists of the 1990s, I would say.
Aww.
And certainly, you know, you sort of defined the genre for so many people in the world. Was there any kind of hesitate? What made you decide to become a performance artist at that
time?
There
were a lot of great performance artists before me, believe me,
mm-hmm.
Which inspired me to kind of get out there and do it. Like Carolee Schneeman and Yoko Ono and Nam June Paik and all the Fluxus artists. We love Fluxus artists. And so I had always kind of fantasized about being an artist. I think my special niche was that I came up from the sex industry and started doing work about my life.
But why did you just decide, because you were pretty successful in pornography and as a escort, you know, as a sex worker.
Yeah.
What made you decide, I want to try something new?
Oh, it got a little boring after a while, being other people's sexual fantasy and... after many years and kind of, once I'd had, three of every kind of man, at least, I was like, okay, what's next? And so after 3,000 or 4,000, I switched over to women. And then, trans people, actually.
Well, you even had a midget, and you even put, some peanut butter on your cooter and got a dog at it, right?
Well, I won't go there.
Well, there was a slide of it in your show.
That's illegal.
What? It is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. What? Fuss is crazy. He talks about all sorts of crazy things. But amputees and FTMs.
Yeah.
I mean,
but now I'm so in love and it's a rare woman that, rare lesbian, in fact, that could handle a woman who's had thousands of lovers before.
Well, when you came out to your family and you told them, "Hey, look, Mom and Dad, I'm in films," what was their reaction?
They were pretty freaked out, and I think they were concerned maybe I was on drugs or alcohol or somebody was forcing me. But when they realized none of that was going on, they kind of like, well, okay, whatever. They weren't happy. But after about 20 years, they realized it wasn't a passing phase, and this was a lot of work.
Well, and so when you did you come out as a lesbian at the same time or later on, or how was that?
I like to say I'm a metamorphosexual, which means in a state of change, and my sexuality changes, you know, month to month, day to day, year to year, decade to decade. So,
what will you do if it changes within the next 7 years?
Oh, it will. It changes all the time. I mean, after doing chemotherapy, I went into menopause, and that shifts things around.
Wow, it's almost amazing to think of you in menopause, but I guess everybody.
I'm 51, so wow. The chemo put me in earlier than I probably would have. So chemo takes out your estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Well, and so what made you sort of decide at that time period 20 years ago, and how does that reflect to what you're doing today to show the inside of a woman's uterus, I mean, vagina, sorry, and it was yours, and traveling, you were traveling around the country doing this as part of a very entertaining
theater. I toured that show. It was called Postborn Modernist. I toured it for about 5 years around the world. Well, 14 countries and a lot of different cities and states, and showed my cervix. I figured to about 40,000 people, and it was an amazing thing to do. And interestingly, I stopped doing it about, 10, 12 years ago, and then I just decided to do it. It was International Clitoris Day, and we were raising money for a very good cause, and I said, Beth, let's do it. So we pulled out the old speculum and dusted it off and
put it in,
and Beth and I did the public cervix announcement.
So you both did it together?
We did.
Yeah.
And Beth, what was that experience like for you, having a lot of people looking inside you?
Well, I actually was assisting Annie.
Okay, so you've never joined in the sense of having someone looking inside you as well, like Annie? Or?
No, I haven't.
Did you ever consider it?
Well, that might be fun. it was interesting. Last night we went to see this guru named Amici.
Uh-huh.
And she's the hug guru. And thousands and thousands of people. Have you heard of her?
I just read about her in Conscientious Choice magazine. She's Indian.
Amazing.
What?
And she hugs people.
She's a hug therapist.
To get hugged.
And she's like, she broke a lot of taboos because she's an Indian woman.
Yeah.
And it was weird for Indian women to touch strangers.
Yeah.
It was so, I was just read about her last week. So you hugged her?
So we got a hug from Amici last night.
Wow.
It was very similar to Annie's cervix piece.
Wow.
So I was very honored to be able to assist Annie in that piece and actually in bringing it back for this one night. And people were they were really overwhelmed. I mean, so many people still have never seen a cervix. It's amazing.
Well, because I tried to do the similar piece with showing the inside of my anus, but people didn't want to, they weren't interested.
You're kidding.
I'm just joking.
I would be interested.
Well, those pictures are still up on manhunt.net.
Hey, I thought you deleted those.
Really? Did you use a speculum?
No, I just kind of held my hands open.
And then
when somebody looked inside, I had too much beans for dinner. I farted in their face.
That's amazing.
Did the guru know your backstory? Did she know who you guys were?
No, she hugged like 2,000 people in the
night. Because that's what she does.
And Elizabeth, like you two are the most unassuming people, even being the art stars that you are. Has there ever been a time that you go into an art gallery and sometimes like people approach to you for an autograph or say, I know who you are, you know?
Well, with the show Exposed, because before this I've mostly done sculpture, and people, you know, there's some distance between the art and the artist and the audience. But doing this show Exposed in Glasgow, people started asking for my autograph, and that was just a hoot, you know. I think that's really fun. Annie gets it all the time.
And Annie started doing the tit prints because it was faster than signing autographs, right?
I have a tit print rubber stamp. I decided not to put more ink on my breath, so now I do it with a rubber stamp of my nipple.
You know, you remember that James Paraguay and myself sent you a cock prints when you were in Austin, Texas?
Oh, wow.
Do you remember that?
coming back to me now.
we were so excited about your tit prints, we decided to do an homage. And we sent, and they were, we used glow-in-the-dark paint.
Okay, right.
And when you...
It was beautiful. God, but it was so big. I mean...
Oh. Well, do you ever have, like, a sort of fan art or tribute art made about you guys?
Actually, you know what? We just made wedding invitations for our Orange wedding, which is actually July 2nd. It's in a few weeks.
Yeah, people can actually watch it online at loveartlab.org.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic.
We made squeaky prints for our wedding invitations because the theme of this wedding is sexuality and creativity.
We're in the second chakra now.
Well, why don't you guys use, like, homemade tempera paint made out of beet pigment and egg yolks?
Well,
that way there'd be no toxins in it. You know? I think so.
Did you get that?
Yeah, but it's not archival.
Oh, it's not archival. See, this is good thing.
Tempera paint's not archival.
It's not.
Mm. Well, we used ink on our posters, okay. But you know, just this one.
Did it look like anything though? Or
oh my God, they were beautiful.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I just imagine that smushing paper and ink against your genitals would.
They were twaddalicious.
Oh, I wish I was on your mailing list.
We could put you on our mailing list.
Oh, I'll believe me, I'll be sending you our address. It's just like, do people in California, are they sort of like fighting over, you know, being invited to your wedding and stuff? Or
yeah,
they are.
They're like,
yeah, we can only have 100 people in the space. It's going to be at the Center for Sex and Culture, which is Carol Queen's place.
But don't tell them.
It's going to be our.
Don't say where it's going to be, because then there'll be a packed house outside.
Well, there's a door person. You can't crash it or get in unless you're on our special list.
Well, was somebody. I mean, you know, because Annie, you have a lot of signifiers as a performer. And I would imagine that there'd be drag queens who are like impersonating Annie Sprinkle trying to break into your own wedding.
That would be a great piece. Oh. You should do it.
Yeah.
I don't think I would pass though.
You
showed some graph. So what do you two? I'm kind of curious to get you guys' take on porn stars of today. Like, have they changed at all? Has the porn industry changed in a sense? Because it you know, this year
they're much richer.
They have a lot more money, right?
Oh, they're millionaires, some of these gals.
And you know, you were doing it because it was fun.
Yes, it was a way of life.
And they did it. Now they're like, oh, I want to be a millionaire.
Now it's a business, big business.
Well, is it, you know, in this year, I think, Jenna Jameson?
Yeah.
Replaced Britney Spears as the most searched name on Google.
Is she really?
I believe so.
Yeah, wow. I think that happened, yeah.
It was Jenna Jameson or some other porn star, but
that's
it was
incredible.
So porn stars have become outshone non-porn stars, or at least one of them has.
Well, that's the way it should be.
Well, do you feel like, in a sense, like you were, you know, I always feel like I was born a little bit late or early, you know, that in the wrong time period, and that feels like technology and social acceptance for what I do as an artist has sort of finally caught up with myself, you know? Do you feel that way?
Looking at your website, it's really beautiful. It seems like you're right on the tech wave.
We are. We're riding that surfboard. But do you feel like, in a sense, that Annie, that there is a sense that you might have been a different person had you, you know, been born today, or like, or in another time period?
I don't know if I would have been a porn star, because nowadays, I mean, they're just so drop dead, you know, gorgeous Barbie doll like.
Well, you were pretty cute at the age of 18, though.
Whereas in the 70s, you could look however you were. You know, we were really different. We had pubic hair, and
you didn't get your anus bleached or anything like that, or.
Well, I actually shaved, but a lot of us had pubic hair, and back then, and you know, you could look any which way as long as you were game. You know, so everybody looks really different. Now you have to look like a high fashion model.
You have to have a personal trainer,
yeah.
Plastic surgery.
Exactly.
So yeah.
They're cute and lovely, and they have their charms, but I'm so kind of bored with that. I think, you know, people enjoy it and that's great, but we're post-porn. We're beyond, we're
Looking but do you think that American society is post-porn? Because it's like, in many ways, what we do in podcasting, we owe a lot to the FCC's extreme reaction to Janet Jackson showing her breasts at the 2004 Super Bowl halftime show.
Really?
Well, yeah, because we can say and do anything we want. And I think that's why people seek out our content.
I think that why podcasting in general sort of took off as a response to the FCC cracking down on so many radio stations and television stations, and people just sort of like looked at the internet and said, okay, well, here's this, how do we deliver this content to other people? And I'm kind of curious to see, you know, because you're somebody who's exposed, you know, shown her breasts to so many audiences around the world. What was your reaction when you heard about Janet Jackson?
You know, that's really funny. I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I thought at first, my first reaction was, gee, that's really inappropriate.
Why do you think so?
We have to show our boobs in, appropriate places and appropriate times. And, you know, yeah, there were a lot of kids watching or maybe, you know, which is fine. Breasts are beautiful. My second reaction, like, I got over that, and I said, like, right on, Janet, go for it. But my first reaction was, it is inappropriate to do it in a, you know, family setting like that. But what the hey, there's nothing wrong with breasts, you know?
Well, isn't that, though, like, a cop-out that she said, she was like, oh, it was a wardrobe malfunction and all these people apologizing? But, you know, why need to apologize?
She would have gotten so much money, though, if she hadn't done something.
She would have lost money?
She already got fined quite a lot of money.
Yeah, and that way she could... I think that was totally okay to do that. Say, oops, it was an accident. Then that way she doesn't, you know, have to take responsibility, but she could still do it, even if it was planned. She said, oh, I planned to do it. She would have been the brunt of a lot of hate and anger. A lot came at her. She
would have been the Antichrist.
Yeah, so she
kind of was so tame, though. Mm.
But that was the most downloaded thing, I think, ever, was Janet Jackson's nipple.
It was. It was like, it was the image that rocked the world.
Yeah.
And it made, you know, it was the most exciting thing that ever happened at a Super Bowl halftime show ever.
The power of the nipple is awesome.
Well, and it was an adored nipple. It was like, it had that awful tacky jewelry.
Oh, I like those little sunbursts. Nipple ring thing.
Do you have your nipples pierced? Annie or Elizabeth?
I have my labia pierced.
And how, Beth, how about you?
I have one.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Doesn't everyone?
I don't have anything pierced.
So again,
you know, fun.
So the show is exposed, and it's going to be Friday through Sunday at 8 p.m. at Counterpulse, 1310 Mission Street and 9th in San Francisco.
And tickets. Everybody's welcome. Any gender, sexual orientation, or, you know, suburban people, farmers.
Boring people are welcome.
Who?
Boring.
Boring people are especially welcome.
Yeah,
they sit in the front row. People.
Yeah.
Now, is it sort of like Gallagher? People have to wear, like, trench coats to protect themselves from the melons flying.
No, not at all. But you can wear a lab coat if you want.
Well, that's fun.
If you guys are a lab scientist or like lab, where's the control group here? Where's the part that you don't modify to see if your experiments are actually working?
We are the control group. We're the scientists and the control group.
You guys are the ones who are controlling things.
Yeah, we have to load into the theater tomorrow. It's very exciting, because
we're on our home turf.
The theater is an incredible, magical place, as you know.
Yes, yes.
And anything can happen in the theater, and it's you know, when you got the light and the good sound and all the audience and everything, the program, and it's all set up, and you're in this space together. You can just create magic. It's so wonderful.
Well, one thing I really like about your theatrical work, Annie, is that you always invest a lot of thought and time and energy and money into the production values.
You're so right. I do that.
And for somebody who's doing...
Sparkling fountain.
I love that one. That was the best one. Okay, can you describe... of course, this is turning into an... describe the piece for people who weren't there.
I'd like you to describe it.
Well, we're talking about the show or the piece at the DuPont Circle Fountain.
Yeah, the DuPont Circle Fountain that you saw, because I don't know. I can't remember.
Okay, it was 1993. It was the Queer March on Washington. And it was, you know, like most marches on Washington, they're historical events. And Annie decided to recreate the DuPont Circle Fountain Goddess. For those of you who don't live in Washington, D.C., it's a big, you know, chested, gorgeous woman surrounded by water.
Wow.
And pigeons. And so Annie, I still don't know how you did this, but you managed to put a lot of fluid inside you.
I drank a lot of water.
You drank, that went through your kidneys.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And Annie comes out as Annie Sprinkle.
Out of the fountain?
No. She comes out on stage.
Okay.
You know, this is for like a show.
Okay.
And I think we had just performed or were about to perform ourselves, like after. And Annie comes out and she gets a gorgeous young woman hanging some pigeons off of her shoes, and she's on her back.
Hiding a shoulder stand.
And you're doing like a shoulder stand, or you're on your feet, on your
shoulder
back?
Stand.
She was doing a shoulder stand, and she lets it rip, and out comes this gush. I think it was about 4 or 5 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Just ridiculously long gush of water, you know, coming out of your vagina.
Like 10 feet up.
10 feet up into the audience, and it landed on my shoes.
Oh, I didn't know I got you.
You got me in the front row. I was like,
wow.
I didn't know I got the audience.
Yeah, and the audience was screaming, cheering, clapping. Something so simple.
There's a wonderful new book. It's called Peas on Earth. With her digital camera, photographed herself peeing, but you don't see her patootie or anything. Just the stream of pee. It's lovely. And there's an interview she and I did in her book. It's a beautiful art book.
Annie, how did you get so much fluid inside you?
I drank a lot of water.
Like how?
I knew I was going to do it. So I started drinking water like 2-3 hours.
But, it, you know, when people pee, it's a little Annie Sprinkle. You know, it's a sprinkle. And you had a garden hose of fluid.
Yeah, well, if you have to pee on stage, you know. Well, anyway, let's change the subject. This is about art.
Well, that is art.
That is a beautiful art piece. And so Exposed has a it has its common, it's scripted. There's moments where you guys are talking to the audience, right?
Yeah, the whole thing's scripted, but with a lot of room for improv. Well, there's a lot of collaboration with the audience, so we never really know what the audience is going to do.
I so wish I could be there.
Well, you should come out.
Well, you know, what I want is the people who are listening to the show, I want you guys to come and do a report. And report back to us here at the Feast of Fools in Chicago, Illinois.
Well, even
and
better, we should get a show in Chicago.
Definitely.
That would be fantastic.
Actually, there's talk of us, Beth and I, coming to Chicago in October to the University of Illinois.
Ooh, well, that's fantastic.
Wonderful.
Well, will you guys come back on the show and promote that when you come back?
Yeah. That'd be lovely.
That'd be fantastic. Well, again, it's going to be at Counterpulse, 1310 Mission Street. And if you want more details, you can in San Francisco, you can visit our website, feastoffools.net, and learn more about Annie and her fantastic website with tons of QuickTime movies and pictures and hilarious and touching and scary and beautiful stories about their relationship and their 7 years.
Well, it's not my website. It's actually Beth's. Maybe.
Well, Beth, I mean,
I made the website.
Now, Beth, did you design a lot of that stuff and do a lot of the coding, or did you work with other people? Or
I worked with other people. I designed a lot of it, though.
Girl, because I may tell you, you know, website. Speaking from experience, that is something hard.
Well, we have about 3 or 4 templates that we use that really simplified. In fact, I started out using a designer, and he did a lot of things in Flash, and we just realized that if that was the case, we wouldn't be able to sort of update it ourselves and things like that. So we actually went backwards into pretty much pure HTML.
So you don't use any content management system or anything like that? Or
no, we do it. We just kind of do it on a case-by-case basis.
Well, hats off to you, sister, because that is just a beautiful website, very entertaining and very fun. And, of course, it's loveartlab.org, and you can find that through feastoffools.net or type in loveartlab.org and discover Annie and Elizabeth's adventures in love. And so we're going to do a little game that we sort of do a breakdown at the end of the interview with you two.
Okay.
And this is sort of like a takeoff on the newlywed game, but we're going to ask one person the question. So, Beth, like, we'll ask you the question, what is Annie's favorite color?
Uh-huh.
And you try to answer the right answer, and then Annie will do her rebuttal.
Oh, my God. That's her comment. Hard. What's her favorite color?
So, yeah. So, and then it's Annie's turn to answer to you.
Okay. Is that the question?
So, the first question we start to Beth. Okay. What is Annie's favorite color? Annie, don't give her any clues.
How long do I have to answer?
Right now.
It's pink.
That's right.
Pink like vagina.
That's right.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, Annie, what is Beth's age in relationship to Larry King?
Oh, wow. That's hard. Larry must be, I think he's 80? 75. He's 75.
No, he's in his 80s.
Is he 80?
Mm-hmm.
80, and Beth 44.
So you're younger. That always stumps people, because some people are just like older, younger. Or
some people go, how dare you?
Okay, so Beth, what does Annie think is her best feature?
Oh, her best feature? Her mind.
Aww.
Annie, is that true?
Absolutely. Well, I don't know.
Okay, her tits are a close second.
It depends on the...
Her fabulous heart. Her fabulous heart.
Oh, that's good. That's the right answer.
Okay, and now, Annie, what turns Beth on the most?
Gosh, I don't know if I can say it on the air.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, this is a podcast. So it's all... Well, unless Beth doesn't want... Is Beth, like, frowning at you?
Don't tell her about that. Make something up.
I am not a liberty.
Annie turns me on the most in the world.
Wait, she's supposed to answer that, not you.
Oh.
You're cheating.
Turn her on the most.
What?
Okay. So, Beth, what is Annie's favorite type of sushi?
Sea urchin.
That's right.
Really? You like those things? Those things are nasty.
Yeah, I know. They smell like vaginas, and they're really mushy.
Oh,
Loved it.
Wow.
Totally.
Oh, okay.
As if you don't get enough already.
I know. She has all my secrets.
So, Annie, what is playing on Beth's iPod right now, or her record player, MP 8-track? What's on her... What music is she listening to
Johnny
right now?
Cash.
Okay.
Beth, is that right?
Oh, yeah. I love Johnny Cash.
Okay. And Beth, what is the best thing that happened to Annie last year? Well, what Annie thinks is the best thing that happened to her last year.
Last year by the calendar or last year by our project?
Probably either.
Either or.
Oh, the best thing that happened is that we got fabulous rings in Rio de Janeiro for our wedding.
And okay. Annie, is this true?
Almost. It was when she put the ring on my finger.
Oh.
Yeah, how sweet. Okay, Annie, what is the worst thing that Beth think has happened this year so far?
The worst thing that Beth thinks has happened. Ooh, the worst thing? Nothing bad happened.
George Bush went against gay marriage.
Yeah, that's probably. the worst thing. I cannot think of a bad thing that happened last year. Not one bad thing.
Best rebuttal.
I can't think of anything bad that happened either.
Really? No tsunamis in Indonesia?
Well, they're horrible, but they didn't happen to me.
That's true.
You know, George Bush is horrible, but we try to have compassion. He's a lost soul.
Mm. He is. I think he's gay, actually.
Oh, he's...
Yeah. No, he's not cool.
He wants to marry Dick Cheney is what the problem is.
Well, he's trying to find a surrogate father, I think, because he didn't have a good father figure, and so Dick Cheney's a... There's a whole website on George Bush's gay psyche.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really? We'll have to check that out.
That's so scary.
Cool,
I know.
It's, why would anyone want to put him in that category?
I know.
Well, it's not him. This woman claims she saw George Bush having a three-way with
him. Well, she wasn't a three-way with him or something.
She was in a three-way.
That's a hoax, though. Isn't that a hoax?
I don't know if it's a hoax
or not. I heard that the father was gay, George the Senior.
Really?
Yeah, and then he had these little boys going up to his place in Maine that would service him regularly.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You have to be careful what you say.
Okay.
NSA.
Secret Service.
But you know what? You can give them orgasms and help them discover their sexuality.
I'm sure there's young men that go up there and fix the plumbing and all sorts of stuff.
If it helped save some lives, we would definitely do analingus, whatever it took.
See, so you agree with me, Annie, that if President Bush asked you for a blowjob, you'd give it to him because you think it, I feel, for speaking for myself, that it would make the world a better place.
Absolutely.
Well, all right. So
you guys are patriots.
we're gonna get back on track. Beth.
Only if Beth went along with the idea.
Okay. Well, I always think you have to serve your public servants.
So, Beth, what is Annie's favorite movie?
Her favorite movie?
Mm-hmm.
Her favorite movie is, her favorite movie. God, that is really hard. Her favorite movie is Gone with the Wind.
Annie?
Oh. No, I don't think it is. Her favorite movie, it's some musical. I'm sure it's a musical.
Yeah. Close.
Yeah.
Annie, your rebuttal?
Well, it's either West Side Story or Gypsy.
I think Gypsy. That's the answer. Okay, Annie, what's Beth's favorite snack?
Almonds.
Beth?
It's true.
Okay.
Almond-free.
This is so much fun.
Beth, what was it?
I don't know. It's fun for the audience.
It's fun. It's fun. But they like it.
They love this.
You
this
love this, don't you, audience? But
yes, we do.
So, Beth, did Annie have a childhood pet, and what kind of pet was it, or what was the name of it?
Did Annie have a childhood pet? She had. Yeah, no, she was sort of ambivalent about pets as a child. I think she may have had fish in an aquarium.
Ooh.
Annie?
No, remember the guinea pigs. When the daddy guinea pig ate the baby.
I don't know.
Is that what turned you gay?
Those are rodents.
The guinea pig made you go let gay.
Yeah, guinea pigs are not pets.
They're food in South America.
Who's
Annie,
the audience, you guys?
What?
Who's listening to us?
George Bush, Barbara Bush, the whole Bush family. Lots of people in Texas, lots of people in California,
people
LA.
People all around the world. In fact, I'd like sort of the people right now to sort of like touch themselves in honor of Annie.
Tell them that we love them, whoever they are listening, that we love them.
There's about almost 30 million people listening right now. I'm just kidding. There's about quite a few people. Every show gets downloaded around 6,000 to 10,000 times. In a month, so
we love everyone who downloads this show.
Yeah, we love you.
And you know, there's a device that you can hook up to your iPod and stick it inside your twat or your butthole, and it vibrates along with the podcast.
No way.
Oh, that is so hot!
Now we do have to get an iPod.
Yeah, now we have to get an iPod.
So you can literally vibrate yourself to your favorite music or favorite podcasts.
Oh, it vibrates to like the wave, the sound wave.
Yeah. So if I go, it's vibrating inside their cooter.
You're crazy.
That's just like when we were chanting last night with the guru.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Okay, Beth, if your vagina, if Annie's vagina wrote its own monologue, what would it say?
It would say, "Hi, how are ya? Hi, nice to see ya. Hi, I love you."
That's right.
Wow.
Ding. Yay.
Okay, Annie, so what kind of drink does Beth fix guests that come over to your house?
What?
What kind of drink does Beth fix people, guests that come over to the house?
She doesn't fix any drinks. I fix the drinks. But it would be tea.
It would be tea? Okay.
Oh, I thought
we're
it was pee.
Tea drinkers.
I was like...
We're lesbians, remember?
Okay, what's the most annoying thing...
We have to address it to somebody.
Beth. To Beth. What does Annie think is the most annoying thing? Actually, I want Annie to answer the... because I think Beth will have a really good answer about this. Beth, Annie, what does Beth think is the most annoying thing about popular culture right now?
Most annoying thing about popular culture... Wow, that's an interesting question. annoying thing. Annoying thing. Well, maybe that it's just so focused on violence and man's inhumanity, man and drama. You know, the media creates so much drama.
Mm-hmm.
And Beth, is that is
we
that
like to watch,
right?
But you know.
And Beth, is Annie right on with that?
Yeah, she's pretty right on with that. I find it very annoying.
Okay, and Beth, who's Annie's favorite fat celebrity?
Favorite fat celebrity?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Probably Heather McAllister, who is she's very ill right now, but she started this troupe called the Fat Bottom Review, and it's a troupe of fat lap dancing burlesque girls, and Annie just loves them. Then there's also Carol Lee, also known as Scarlet Harlot.
Oh, I love that's my favorite fat celebrity.
She's a dear, dear friend of Annie's. And who else, Annie? Those are right on. Yeah.
Wow.
And Annie, what does Beth waste her money on the most? What does Beth consider she wastes their money on the most?
Oh, well, what I would consider is maybe, well, let's see. She buys a lot of books, but I guess she needs... She's a professor, and she's very smart. She needs that intellectual stimulation.
Right. Well, it's not like what do you spend your money on the most, but like how does she waste money?
How does she regret buying things, you know? It's like,
you know,
I shouldn't have bought that so-and-so.
Oh, God. I don't know if she wastes any money. She spends it on me, but
okay.
She does. She spends so much money
that
on me.
That is never a waste of money.
Aw.
So
she's not big on buying groceries. I end up buying groceries.
So this is not how you support me.
No, she supports me, but in the manner to which I'm not accustomed.
Okay, and so Beth,
a beautiful house here in San Francisco that she owns. It's so beautiful.
Nice.
Mm.
Anyway, what does she spend money on? She, I don't know.
Okay.
I think she makes very good choices.
And Beth, what do you think? What do you waste your money on?
What do I waste money on? I don't have enough money to waste. It's a problem.
So you don't regret
buying
anything?
You're not like a secret like thrift store shopper that goes and buys like, I just bought these teacups.
Yeah,
I had to have them.
House.
Okay.
So like, you don't waste a lot of money on lesbian folk music?
No, I do not waste money on that.
She likes nice fixtures. She buys these houses, and then she has to buy really good quality fixtures, like door hinges have to be really good quality.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Nice.
I do have a house fetish. She loves to build. She does construction.
She's a nester.
So Beth,
her tool belt. Oh my God.
I bet that house there's probably two different sets of tool belts.
We're very butch femme here. In fact, if you go to loveartlab.org, you will see how butch femme we are.
I know. I can tell. I just can't figure out who's the butch and who's the femme, though.
Annie's definitely the butch.
I am certainly the butch.
And now, Beth, what gets Annie high?
Well, I mean, she does like sex. That gets her pretty high.
Yeah.
Annie, is that right?
Right answer.
And Annie, if Beth could be a tree, what kind of tree would she want to be?
Oh, she'd be the tree of life.
Aww.
She is the tree of life. She's just the most exquisitely gorgeous. I think I'd have to say, I'd like to see her be she'd be a cherry blossom tree, a cherry tree blossoming. In my book, but what kind she'd like to be, she'd probably be a redwood.
Okay.
Beth?
We have 20 redwood trees in our yard.
Wow. Oh,
I have to go visit you guys.
Visit us.
We'd love to.
And that's we'll in there. Our love nest, our Love Art Lab love nest. Mm-hmm.
I'll make a crazy potion and blow up half of the lab.
We like potions.
And now, Beth?
Beth, uh-huh. Does Annie believe in God or life after death?
Oh, Annie believes in many, many, many gods and many, many lives after death, yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us today. You guys are such a hope for all lesbians and gay and people in couples. You're a hope for love.
We love men, though, so we're not that lesbian. We're like queer. We like to
queer. You're polyamorous, right? I like that one. That's what our friend Deborah...
Moore.
Deborah Moore, or Debbie Moore, came up with the polyamory.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's Deborah Annapole.
Who?
Deborah Annapol invented the term polyamory.
Oh, well, but I didn't hear it from her. I heard it from Debbie.
Debbie Moore got it from Debbie Annapol.
Debbie Annapol is the one who came up with polyamory. And God bless her for goddess.
Whatever.
Well, we're not polyamorous, though. Well, you could say we are. Not sexually.
Not at the same time or not in the, you know. Because, always everyone's monogamous at a certain point in time.
We're multi-monogamous.
That's a really good point. You
know? Unless there's three or four people in bed with you at that
point. But even then, you're always, you know...
No, because sometimes you're on somebody and somebody's
on... No, because the theory of atomic particles says you're always... You can't be at all places at once.
Wow. Yeah, but if you believe in sex as energy exchange, you can make love with many at once, but not physically.
Well, there you go.
We send out love to everybody.
Yeah, love.
I'm feeling it now.
Vibes and good sexual energy.
Thank you so much. And goodwill to all the trannies out there.
Yeah, all the polyamorous.
All the polyamorous.
Yeah.
And once again, the show is exposed. It's going to be this Friday and Sunday. And
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday,
at the Counterpulse, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we're going to tour it to other places.
So, and they'll be able to check that out.
But don't tell people that, because then they won't come see it. They'll be like, oh, well, it's just going to come to L.A., you know.
Well, we're touring it to Vienna, Austria.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Next.
Shout out to Vienna.
Next.
But they go to anniesprinkle.org, look at my calendar, and it'll be up there.
Well, thank you so much. You two beautiful ladies for coming on to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for being darling and sweet and fabulous and sexy and not... You know, you said, it's kind of Howard Stern-like. I'm like, you guys aren't at all like Howard.
Well, we're not.
We're not. The thing is, we say that because we can say whatever we want and we prepare you for the worst.
But you say very intelligent things.
Well, we're intelligent people.
Well, we've had, you and I, Annie, have had very good teachers.
Yes.
So that's thanks to Linda, I would say.
Yeah, Linda Montana, bless her heart.
She's a good teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so shout out to Linda M, wherever you are, honey.
Big kiss, a big hug. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Love you.
So Annie Sprinkle and Elizabeth Stevens live in San Francisco. Their show Expose is going to be this weekend at Counterpulse. And you also can buy Annie's book, Dr. Annie Sprinkle's Guide to Spectacular Sex.
Mm-hmm.
And
Post-Porn Modernist. And if you look on page 164, you'll see little Fausto Fernos at the tender age of 21, looking up Annie Sprinkle's twat.
So we're going to leave you with another fabulous... This is, we feel so coupley.
Yeah, I feel like, you know...
So warm and fuzzy. Like, we're going to leave you with like the Wet Spots.
Yes, that's a good song.
I'd Like to Come. Wherever you're going, I'd Like to Come. And this is from the Wet Spots, which you can visit our website and buy their CD.
Mm-hmm.
And this also, is... Yeah.
Well, and also, if you'd like to email us, please email us at feastoffools@gmail.com. If you want to comment on this show, please comment on the website at feastoffools.net. And also, we'd like to tell you, please, please buy a t-shirt. Celebrate your pride this month by wearing a Feast of Fools t-shirt. Wear it to your pride parade and take a picture. Quarter Turns pictures are available. The podcast that makes its own gravy.
Bye, everybody. Take care.
Bye.
Never arriving. One night I'll get it just right, and then I just might finally take flight. One night with lots of patience and some vibration. To come. Insert that magazine. mix screams, they make it look so easy. And I've known some girls who told me, ride a bike or ride a pony. Honey, I'd ride a moose if only that would please me. It's the same old tale. You meet someone, you like them, and you trust them.